We were up at the intersection up here, 1488 and 2978 this morning, and come up behind a car, and I thought Joel might like it. On the windshield, back window, it had all this stuff on there, and it said, "Come and take it." This old Texas thing. But he had a AR-15 or whatever it is picture up there. I said, "You ought not tempt them, they may come and get it." But it made me think of another story, Joel. The old lady had this big old pistol, and they thought it was too big for a big old 45, and they asked her, "Why have you got this big old 45? She said, "Because I couldn't get a 46. Turn with me to the 7th chapter of the book of the Ecclesiastes this morning. Book of Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes, both, if you look at them real quick, like reading them, it sound like it. He just put a bunch of little things together and chunked them out there, mixed, stirred it up and chunked them out there. Sometimes one doesn't seem to have any bearing on the other. But if you study it out, most time it all does have a continuity in it that makes sense. If I can use that term, makes sense. Making sense of things is what it's all about. Come, let us reason together. And it's all about reason, not about other things. I guess in verse 7 we'll start. It said, "Surely oppression maketh the wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart." One's under oppression. And it may be even that because the ruler's got a gift and he's going to hold him under oppression, it kind of reminds me of Clinton's. I've been all over the last couple of weeks. If you could buy him off, that would be one thing. But his intent is to oppress. That's just the intent in the heart of man in his natural state, that he would be hold another oppressed. And that's just kind of way it is. And then he said, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof." Yeah. I thought about this. It depends on what the end is of it. But I also thought that it's like Job. Being patient in the end of that was that God blessed him more in the latter part than he did in the beginning. I also thought about the Apostle Paul. He said, "I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. So what?" He's ready to go or be offered up. So in that sense, it's better when it's done than it is in the beginning. I know that's not, it kind of goes against the grain with, I'll say natural man, but all men. It kind of, you know, we don't look forward to the end. Even though we've got all manner of oppression and everything else in this world, we don't necessarily look forward to that end. I think that's where hope springs eternal, where that saying come from, that, well, it's going to be better tomorrow. And the patient in spirit is better than a proud spirit. Patience, certainly toward God, is a good virtue. We often are impatient, and we complain, and we grumble, and we moan, and groan, and carry on, and it's all in abject relation to a, what we say, a sovereign God. He does all things in His own time. Sometimes it's hard to be patient too, isn't it? And I think the only way that you can have that patience is by the Spirit of God. It can't be outside of that. Man cannot find anything in this world that he can truly hold on to. It's always escaping him. Be not hasty in thy spirit, be angry. For anger resisteth, resteth in the bosom of fools. There's something else. It's just, we're still in this old flesh. And sometimes it's hard not to be angry. Especially, it has been very hard here lately. When you see all the things that are going on in this world, it's kind of hard to keep your anger down. I've kept it down to the extent that I hadn't went down there and jumped on anybody. But the whole thing still is wrapped up in the providence of God. Shall not the God of all the world do right? That was the question, wasn't it? And it really didn't need an answer. It answered itself. He is a sovereign God over all things, and especially over the things of His people. Right. Said, say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? Well, we do that pretty often.
Good old days.
Well, I've got a little different take on that than most people, especially some of our younger people. They weren't such good old days. But there again, God set all these things in order and in His own time. And in its own time, there's a time for everything. We could just read that a little earlier in this same Ecclesiastes. There's a time for all things. And surely when we look back, we may see some things that we thought were better. It's easier to hold on to those things. But truly, the only thing that I know of that has not improved is that things I've said before, when I look back, I see in times of old men had more fear of God than they do today. So in that sense, we do look back. We look at the old past. But we also look back at them and say in our heart that God is still sovereign in all His affairs, and whatsoever He doeth is good. They weren't any better than these. They were just being unfolded in God's time. For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. It's not a wise thing. Let's deal with one day at a time and find our comfort in each day. This is a day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We don't have any hope of tomorrow. And yesterday is gone. It's sufficient to itself. So we live today. today is the day of salvation. So we're not wise concerning this. Keep looking back and trying those things, because God hath brought it to be in his own time. Said wisdom is good with an inheritance. And by it there is profit to them that see the sun. We've got sense enough to get out in it. It's shining. And wisdom is good with an inheritance. We're going to come back there in a minute and look at it a little more. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. Well, if you got one, that's good. If you got the other, that's even better, he said. But it must be handled with wisdom. But the excellency of the knowledge is, this is it, that wisdom giveth life to them that have. What is wisdom? First thing, fear of God. That's the beginning of it there. So, knowledge is good. Wisdom's good. The inheritance is good. But only if they come by the grace of God unto the soul. Makes him aware. It gives him an awareness of what these things are. Consider then the work of God. Who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? If we look back, we'd see it. We never were able to change anything. If we got any wisdom and knowledge of God at all, we will couldn't look forward and say that we're going to change anything. We can't straighten it out. We can be patient that the Lord may straighten it out. If he doesn't, what is it? It's the providence of God playing out in every man's life, right? He said, in the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider this. God also has set one over against the other. What are we considering? Prosperity? We consider what is straight and what is crooked? Are we considering those things that we can't make anything straight, that God, whatever he hath made crooked, gonna stay that way? In the day of adversity, we've got good days and we've got bad days. But both are set there by God, who is sovereign in all his works. He set one over against the other. Why? So that man could not know. He sought to know both good and evil. But these things are set apart so that man, he can't know it of his own wisdom and knowledge. Isn't it an amazing thing that God has presented himself in a cloud that some would see and some would not see? That's what he's saying here. Why did they not see? Because it wasn't given unto them to see. Why did those see? Because it was given unto them to see. Well, consider that. He set one over against the other to the end that man should not find anything after him. We can look at another man, we can't see anything. If God doesn't give the knowledge and the wisdom, then it's all vanity. Vanity, vanity, saith the preacher, over and over and over. Would we compare ourselves one with the other? No, that's not wise. What is the true measure? That of God Himself. He said, all things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There's a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there's a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Yeah, it's all, you know, in the providence of God. Be not righteous over much. Well, yeah. Praise the Lord. Neither make thyself overwise. Well, best be quiet. Live a quiet and peaceable life. Don't try, you know, I've decided long ago, I really don't have nothing to prove. Nothing at all. We often look at ourselves, though, as though we have something that God didn't give us. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Don't be overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Might say, just go ahead and tempt God. See what happens. Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Old Job had a little something to say about some of that and some of his brethren too. It's good that thou shouldest take hold of this, yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. This is true wisdom. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. It's that simple. Yeah, consider the work of God. What is a true knowledge? That's the question. We live in a time when men are so knowledgeable. I think often people have gotten so smarter. I've gotten a lot dumber. I'm telling you, I have done that. I've got dumber in my older age, but truly, people have gained more knowledge than one of them advertisements. It talks about, well, we've made an autonomous car and we've done this and we've done that, now why can't we have a good phone or something like that? But anyway, I think oftentimes, my goodness, I can hardly imagine the knowledge that's out there. I don't know how all this is going to play out. You know, they say it's going to stop a million accidents, they call them, a year or something. I don't know. Because they won't, when they get all these cars running theirself, then we won't have any more accidents. Yeah, I just can't imagine. But wisdom has increased by I don't know how many fold. But listen, it's all the wisdom of this world. It isn't worth nothing. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. It's amazing what men think wisdom is today. In 19th verse said, for it is written. Well, it's a sure thing, for it is written. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. That's what I was talking about a while ago. He's in that cloud, or in that darkness, if you will. And unless God gives man the light out of that darkness, he can't see, because his own wisdom it gets in his way. Now listen, we go on to the God. The world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Jesus Christ, crucified unto the Jews. What? A stumbling block. They can't see it because they're so wise. And it hadn't changed. These big mega churches, they've got worlds of wisdom, but they don't have any understanding. That's the problem. And to the stumbling block and unto the Greeks, foolishness. Well, they either go one way or they go the other. We don't need to look at that stuff. We're all just working to get to the same place. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Well, he set the one over against the other. On down in the second chapter, and my speech and my preaching in verse 4. Was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of a power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Right. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, right, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Wisdom of God is a mystery to man. He can't get a hold of it. He can study. He can have set up his Sunday school. He can teach the Bible over and over and over, but if the Spirit of God doesn't bring it to the heart of man, he can have no understanding of these things. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God, the wisdom of God. And how else can man know these things unless God does preach? He chose preaching. But the wisdom comes by the Spirit of God that is brought into this world by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and therein is true wisdom and knowledge.
We have a habit of forgetting all the bad stuff, all the past, and we just like to remember the good stuff. But who knows how much better today might be than anything you ever knew before, because you don't know what's going to happen in the future. We do know one thing. There's coming a day in the which the heavens are going to be on fire and the earth is going to melt with a fervent heat, and God's going to make a new heaven and new earth, and in righteousness is going to dwell in that. And I mean, who's going to look back then?
It won't even be in the power of man to look back. Right?
No. The former things shall not come into mind. You're not going to be wanting to come back to this earth, I'll tell you that for sure. And sometimes the worse things get, the more easy it is for us to start thinking about, man, I want to go home. I'm getting kind of tired of this place. All the uncertainty of it. But how many times, though, do we I hope we're learning. You know, that's what all of this is about. That's what JT stood up here and talked about all this, so we learned something from it, right? But hopefully, huh?
Take our minds off this world.
But, you know, how many times have we in the past thought, man, I wish I had done that different? How do you know? How do you know what would have happened if you had done it different? But it's easy, isn't it, to sit in your chair and think about all these things that could have been when you haven't got a clue as to how they would have been, even if you'd have done them different. It may have been worse than all. But, you know, for us, that's a powerful verse that says all things work together for good to them that love God, that are the call according to his purpose. Now, how many of us are going to question what God has done in his providence? Well, I should have done this, or I shouldn't have done that, or whatever it is. But in the end, if we're God's people, whatever it is. And sometimes, yeah, I don't know. A lot of things has happened in my life that I don't know, you know, exactly why God let them happen, but I know this, that I'm here now and I believe God.
Amen.
What else is there?